Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I'll be back at 9 o'clock tonight for a primary night special. We'll have results as they come in and take a big look at the state of democracy from New York City to the world. Tonight at 9 on 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org. And right now it's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Who are you voting for in the New York primaries? For mayor, controller, public advocate, Manhattan DA, and anything else that's on the ballot in your neighborhood? Electioneering, welcome here. 212-433-WNYC. And why do we do this? Because a lot of people who would like to vote today are probably still undecided in some of these races. So if you've put some thought into this, if you've done a little research, if you've listened to our interviews or other media and come to a conclusion about who to vote for in these primaries, help out your neighbors, 212-433-9692, or even with a campaign. If you're with a campaign, you can call and stump for your candidate a little bit. As I say, electioneering, welcome here. We hope you'll identify yourself if you are with a campaign. 212-433-9692. And with us to help take your calls and answer any last-minute questions you may have about any of these races and to generally declaim, we have Daily News political columnist Liz Benjamin, Juan Manuel Benitez, host of the political show on New York One Noticias, the New York One Spanish language channel, and New York Times Metro reporter David Chan. Welcome back, all of you. Hello. Happy primary day.
Happy primary day, Brian.
Hey, Brian. Good to be back.
And do we have a third voice there? Just making sure. Somebody's missing. I'm not sure whether it's David or Juan Manuel. We've done the issues on this show, David, and we've interviewed all the candidates for mayor, public advocate, controller, Manhattan DA. Now it's time for the only poll that counts, the actual vote. So what are you hearing today about how close any of these races are?
This is David, Brian. What we're hearing so far is that turnout is very, very, very low. The projections are that it could be as low as maybe 15%, you know, 400,000, 450,000. Obviously, a big part of the explanation is that the mayor's race is not supposed to be that close, so there's not as much sort of built-in interest. My colleague at City Hall, Michael Barbaro, when he went to vote this morning, literally had to wake up a few poll workers on the Upper East Side. So, you know, hopefully that's not a sign of things to come and people will, you know, find a little 11th hour Democratic juice to kind of get out there. But, you know, it's a little slow going so far.
Yeah, I actually had the experience at my polling place in Upper Manhattan where I'm usually voter number 001 at 6 o'clock and then I come to work. They were not ready for me today. And I will probably not get to vote because staying downtown to do the special tonight, I'm not going to get all the way back up there. Mm-hmm. But it's just one indication. I hope they got it together up there at that polling place in Inwood. But at 6 o'clock this morning, they asked me if I was a poll worker when I was coming to the building because they were not ready to go. Liz, David talked about the assumption that Bill Thompson's going to roll in this mayoral primary. But surprises are possible. I don't think many pundits expected Reverend Al Sharpton to force a runoff with Ruth Messenger in the Democratic mayoral primary in 1997. Does Tony Avella have a base?
He has a base, but I just don't think that it's going to be that surprising. I mean, Tony Avella has been pulling, a good 20 points down from Bill Thompson, and he has not raised a lot of money. He doesn't really have very much name recognition, and, you know, much like Mayor Bloomberg has been ignoring Bill Thompson and everyone else and saying that he is, you know, campaigning almost as if he doesn't have any opponents, Bill Thompson has really been largely ignoring the fact that he's involved in a primary, although there were these two televised mayoral debates in which, you know, Thompson, you know, tried to attack Bloomberg, and Avella did a fair amount of that, too. But there were also some attacks that Avella levied at Thompson.
And Juan Manuel, are you there? We got you, Juan Manuel. Can you hear me? I guess he can't. So, Liz, let me stay with you for a second. I didn't know Avella had money for advertising, but I stumbled on an Avella ad this morning. You know where it was? On the Daily Kos.
Really?
So is the liberal net roots where Avella thinks his votes are going to come from?
You stumbled on a web ad for him?
Yes.
I haven't seen it. That's interesting. I'm going to go there as soon as I get off the phone to check it out.
It was on their Pundit's Roundup page.
I see. Look, he has a following of people. He certainly has the unusual opportunity, or not so unusual.
You want me to call on my cell phone?
Liz, go ahead. That's all right.
But sort of enviable, if you will, is that, you know, he can pretty much say what he really wants and does. He's a very outspoken guy, and he doesn't have to really worry about losing ground in any particular place because the people who support him support him. I mean, those are his people. Whereas Thompson has to be a little bit more careful and judicious in what he says.
Let's take some of these exit poll calls. Giannis in Queens Village. Hi, Giannis. Who are you voting for today?
Hi, Brian. I'm voting for Norman Siegel for public advocate. That's one guy I'm really excited about. But I'm also out here supporting Swaranjit Singh, who's trying to become the first South Asian elected to the city council.
Who's Singh running against?
Mark Weprin, David Weprin's brother.
Uh-huh. Interesting race. And tell us why, in a few words, Norman Siegel.
Well, all the other guys are career politicians, and I think that if you're going to be a real ombudsman and hold all people from unions and the Democrats and Republicans, everybody accountable, then you can't be thinking about your next political race and who you're going to offend. And I think that Norman Siegel's the kind of guy who's going to, you know, hold everybody accountable if he's in office.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff in Harlem. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hi.
Who are you voting for?
Oh, I voted for Thompson for mayor. I voted for Crocker for DA, Green for public advocate. And I have a very, controller, I voted for John Liu simply because when I was listening to the interviews that you did, you wouldn't let him talk. You didn't really let him get a word in, so I figured, okay, I'll vote for him.
Okay.
He needs my vote for that.
Fair enough. You thought I was too tough on Liu. Tell me why, since we just had a Norman Siegel call for public advocate, why Mark Green?
Because he's a known commodity for me. That's mainly the reason I voted for him.
Okay, Jeff, thanks for your call. Juan Manuel, I think we got you now, right?
Yes.
Juan Manuel,
hey,
Benitez from New York One Noticias. That caller mentioned John Liu for controller. The Liu campaign is touting a poll today that has him up at 37% for controller, and the three others way behind. You only need 40% to win without a runoff. Has Liu become the favorite here, even though David Yasky seems to have all the newspaper endorsements?
Yes. We've been seeing him, like, leading most of the polls, and also from my perspective, from the Hispanic community, he also got the endorsement of El Diario La Prensa. Those last-minute polls, we'll have to see if they prove to be right. But he might be the favorite, and he didn't do badly on the debate last week on New York One. And I think he could be the favorite. We'll have to see if he goes to 40% and he avoids a runoff. We'll have to wait and see tonight. I think he's a leading candidate right now.
On New York One and WNYC, I'll add, since we did that debate together. But the did you say El Diario endorsed John Liu?
Yes.
Okay.
They did. And El Diario La Prensa is a small newspaper, but it's the only very influential newspaper in the Hispanic community.
Oh, yeah.
So that endorsement can have, like, some weight.
Yeah, I don't think of it as a small newspaper. He also got the Amsterdam News. He got the Gay City News. He's got the Queens Chronicle and Tribune. Yasky, David Chen from the New York Times, has the Times endorsement and the Daily News and Cranes and the New York Observer and the West Side Spirit, Our Town Group. So I don't know if these newspaper endorsements mean anything, but what do you think about John Liu's surge?
Well, I think it's also...
David Chen, are you there?
Yes,
I'm asking David to follow up.
Those polls are very, very tricky to gauge. I think the last one might have been one of those, I think Lizzie wrote about this, might have been one of those automated response polls in which you push some buttons,
right.
and so that's
generally got a much higher margin of error, or, you know, more people who just hang up the phone because they're not talking to a human being, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think the general feeling that we're hearing from the campaigns themselves in terms of their own internal polling is that it is still very, very close among John Liu, David Yasky, and Melinda Katz. You know, there is a feeling that Katz has had some of the better commercials. A lot of people have just mentioned to us in passing that they like, you know, the commercial with her sort of moving from scene to scene using an iPhone and going on a bus, and it just seems like that's helped her. And then Liu has a lot of organizational labor support, and Yasky has a lot of the establishment, including the Times and Chuck Schumer's former boss. So it's going to be, I think it's fair to say that there will be a runoff, and I think most people would be, you know, a little reluctant to guess which two of the three will get into the runoff. Hmm.
Susie in the West Village is a Tony Avella voter for mayor. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Yes, I like him because I think he's something of a maverick. I appreciated his stand against the carriage horse trade, which I think is awful for the horses. It's a bit tilting at windmills, and if he doesn't win, I will indeed go for the Democrat, for Thompson. But in the meantime, I'm voting for Avila. I'm voting Controller Liu because he stood up against the term limits repeal. For DA, for Crocker Snyder, because I appreciate her work in the sexual abuse and rape and when she was in the DA's office. For city council, I'm in the village. I'm voting for Yetta Curwen against Quinn because of Quinn's pushing through the term limits repeal, which I thought was totally anti-democratic, and because of her slush fund, which I think is utterly corrupt. And for public advocate, Norman Siegel, ACLU all the way.
All right. Mm-hmm. Susie thought it all through. Now, Liz Benjamin from the Daily News, Susie mentioned the term limits vote as a big factor in her decision in a number of races, and I see on the editorial page of the Daily News today there's a little piece by Jack Dickinson listing the names of every politician who supported what he calls Emperor Bloombuck's overthrow of our twice-by-referendum-approved term limits, hoping we'd be too stupid to remember this by election time, he writes. So he notes everybody's name. So here I'm just going to do this as a service for people who want to use this as a benchmark to vote. These are the people who voted with the mayor on the term limits repeal from city council, and some of them are now citywide candidates. Gerson, Quinn, Jackson, and Dickens in Manhattan. Capel, Seabrook, Vaca, Baez, Rivera, Foster, and Del Carmen Arroyo in the Bronx. Vallone, Sears, Comrie, White, and Sanders in Queens. And Reyna, Van, Dillon, Gonzalez, Mealy, Felder, Stewart, Fiedler, Recchia, and Nelson in Brooklyn. Among candidates for controller, Melinda Katz and David Yasky voted to repeal term limits. So how much, Liz Benjamin, of a deciding factor do you think that's going to be for some of the voters today?
You know, I've been surprised. Yes, people are talking about it, and to a certain degree, and it is a factor in some of the city council races. There's a couple city council races, a half a dozen about, where you have some incumbents who might be in trouble. And equally, the slush fund has played a role, too. But considering how vocal people were in opposition, I'm surprised that it hasn't been more of a focus, term limits, and that vote hasn't been more of a focus. I don't know if it's because it happened almost a year ago now, or, you know, polls have shown that people were upset, but not inordinately so. But it's been mentioned, but it hasn't been the main focus for a lot of folks, and I was surprised by that.
Well, once Thompson or Avella get the mayoral nomination, I guess that they're going to make that a central focus of trying to run against Bloomberg, since so many people, even if they don't love term limits, don't like what he did.
I think more his money. So far, what we've heard from Thompson is more, you know, the out-of-touch billionaire thing, the he was a Republican thing, he still is, you know, that kind of line of attack. But there has been some talk about mentions of, you know, anti-democratic and that sort of rhetoric, but it's just not been the key focus that you might think it was, since it was the whole premise of his, I mean, it's the whole reason why he's able to run.
That's right. Tom in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
I'm in Yonkers. I actually live in Manhattan. And, you know, I just
and it's a good
say,
thing because you can't vote for these New York City offices in Yonkers.
Well, actually,
and don't
I,
don't
I,
try or I you're going to get in big
I
trouble.
I just did vote in Manhattan. I was up here and I drove back to my apartment in Manhattan, which is my primary residence. And we have voting booths in the lobby there. And I voted and then I came back up.
Yeah, your primary residence is in the city, as Pedro Espada was telling us just the other day. But go ahead.
Pay my taxes in the city, unlike most people who have two residences. So,
so who'd you vote for?
Yeah, I don't know if that entitles me to vote or not, but that's where I spend most of my time. I actually was very impressed. I've been very impressed with your callers. I think I'm probably more on the average end of the spectrum than you know. You're the people who've spoken so far. I think have been extraordinarily well informed about the issues and the different candidates. I don't really know that much about them except. I really felt strongly about Norm Siegel, and I wanted to call in and talk about mm-hmm. him. I had an unusual experience a few years ago when we were contemplating whether or not to attack Iraq, and I went to that big rally in Midtown. And I actually got arrested along with a couple hundred other people who, you know, managed to be in the wrong
place
at the wrong time.
That was February 2003. I don't think there was much contemplation going on about whether to attack Iraq at that point, but I hear what you're saying. So what did Norman, real quick, what did Norman Siegel do?
With, a couple hundred people, I think. And Norman Siegel was there in the middle of the night kind of getting us out and showed up again when we, you know, sort of a kangaroo court when all the charges
so
were
he showed up, and I'm going to have to move on. But tell us real quick why you decided to vote for Cy Vance for DA. Since we had a Crocker Snyder voter earlier, why Cy Vance?
Well, you know, honestly, I saw the debate, and I felt like of the three candidates on the debate, Cy Vance was talking about the issues and seemed to have thoughtful answers about issues, and everybody else was talking about why the other candidates were much worse than they were. And that was, you know, I just got the sense that he was more...
You thought he was more issue-oriented and the others were more personal.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for calling. No matter where you live, vote, or pay taxes. Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One Noticias, you broadcast in Spanish. Are there Latino voting trends in the DA's race in Manhattan worth mentioning?
I don't think so. And that's one of the biggest problems with the three candidates is that they can't really articulate many differences among them. And people don't really know what the differences are. They don't really know them. They don't really know their names that much, except for maybe Crocker Snyder. So it's a race that it's not really happening that much in the Hispanic community. I don't know if many of the Hispanics going to the polls today are going to have a clear idea of who to vote for in this race.
And David Chen from the New York Times, who are the base voters of any of these candidates? I guess Richard Ayborn has a certain gun control base because he ran the Brady campaign for gun control. But beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, Ayborn has a lot of the labor unions. He's got Jerry Nadler, obviously very influential congressman, and he's got a number of other people. So he's and he also has the Working Families Party, you know, which I know you've talked about in terms of their accounting issues. You know, and Vance has the establishment backing. He has Morgenthau himself. He has the New York Times. He's all the newspapers and all the dailies anyway.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at Vance's list. He has the Times, the News, the Post, the Amsterdam News, El Diario, the Jewish Press, Cranes. And
it almost sounds like Mike Bloomberg.
I mean, you know, when do you see the New York Post and the Amsterdam News endorsing the same people and, you know, Cranes thrown in there for the mix, too, and the Times? But Liz, what does it mean?
Well, I mean, you talked earlier also about how much newspaper endorsements mean or don't mean. I'm not sure what the cloud is in terms of, like, votes. But it is, I think, I thought David used the word, but he's seen as the establishment candidate, if you will. I mean,
yeah.
He certainly is the support, he has the support of Robert Morgenthau, who is campaigning with him today. He also has a speaker of the State Assembly, Sheldon Silver, who's been campaigning with him. I think that Silver and Morgenthau are appearing together today. So he's definitely sort of the guy who is being cast as most likely, like the heir apparent, if
and,
you will.
And does Crocker Snyder have a base?
Well, she's made a lot of a big deal about the fact that she would, quote, break the glass ceiling. She would be the first woman to hold this position. And she has said that the reason that she isn't getting or didn't get the newspaper endorsements is because she's part of, you know, that's she's running against the old boys network, if you will, which are her words. I mean, she has some law enforcement support among the unions. She certainly has women, some women supporting her. I want to say Judge Judy, but I might be wrong about that. But,
Judge Judy, yes.
She's running as it's hard. It's a hard line to walk because you don't want to be the woman candidate.
And yet Cy Vance has Gloria Steinem and Caroline Kennedy.
Correct. Yep.
Which may mean more that he's the, I don't know, in Caroline Kennedy's case, maybe it means more he's the establishment candidate than the woman candidate, but maybe Gloria Steinem doesn't like Leslie Crocker Snyder's history of supporting the death penalty, even though she's changed now. Just for the record. All right, let's get Jesse in the East Village in here as one more call before we go to a break. And Jesse, you're voting for Leslie Crocker Snyder.
That is correct.
Because?
I think she's been an excellent public servant, and I think it really shows when she went to down to New Orleans after Katrina to do 6 months of. She went on the bench as a judge because they needed trial judges, and I think she's just an excellent public servant. She's stayed in New York, unlike Cy Vance, who was in Seattle for 18 years, and I think she's an excellent candidate.
Do you work for her by any chance? Since you went. Kind of to the talking point.
I'm working today for the campaign.
You are? Okay. Just for full disclosure.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesse, thank you very much. And we thank everybody who called on part one of our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. We're going to talk about some other stuff next and then come back and do part two coming up in about 45 minutes. Juan Manuel Benitez, host of the political show on New York One Noticias, New York Times, Metro reporter David Chen, Daily News political columnist Liz Benjamin. Thanks a lot for joining us on this primary day.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now it is our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Who are you voting for in the New York primaries for mayor, controller, public advocate, Manhattan DA? We've had all the candidates on from all those races in the last few weeks. Who are you voting for? And you can throw in real quick anything else that's on the ballot in your neighborhood. I know there's a ton of city council races, and you can mention them. Electioneering, welcome here, 212-433-WNYC. And why do we do this? We do this because there are a lot of people out there who at this late date, especially in a low turnout, low interest election like this, are still undecided and still uninformed. So, help out your neighbors. Call up and tell us who you decided to vote for. We also have all the newspaper endorsements listed here in case that helps you for the various races. We went over controller newspaper endorsements in the last hour and the ones from Manhattan DA. I'll just throw in the public advocate ones now before we go to the phones. And de Blasio, Bill de Blasio, Brooklyn City Councilman, has the lion's share, New York Times, Bronx Times, Gay City News, Jewish Press, Carib News, Caribbean Life, New York Press, Our Town, West Side Spirit Group. Eric Gioia does have the New York Daily News, so the Times and the Daily News split on this one. I think that's the only one where they split. out of these various races. Yes, they both endorsed Vance for DA. They both endorsed Yaski for controller. But for public advocate, the Times endorses de Blasio. The News endorses Gioia. And the New York Observer endorses Mark Green. So does the Riverdale Press. Gioia gets some of the Queens media. He's from Queens, Queens Chronicle, Queens Tribune, Times Ledger newspapers. So now it's your turn. Our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. Who are you voting for? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Aaron in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Aaron.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good. Who are your choices?
For public advocate, I did Green because the position just seemed to be defined by him. For district attorney, for Leslie Crocker, because I listened to the debate on your show and I thought she made a strong case. Not necessarily voting against somebody, but voting for her.
Mm-hmm.
For public advocate, John Liu, I think he's a trailblazer. And I listened to the debates also and I thought he sounded strong. And for Mayor Thompson.
Thank you very much. Kim in Battery Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Who are you voting for?
Well, I did Leslie Crocker Snyder, public advocate, de Blasio, comptroller, Yaski, my councilperson, and PJ Kim.
How'd you decide on de Blasio? How'd you decide on Leslie Crocker Snyder?
Well, you know, I was really annoyed that Cy Vance just grabbed the establishment. I mean, this guy, okay, he was an ADA way back, but then he left and went off to Seattle and did his private sector stuff. She's been a committed public servant for a really, really long time. And then when Gloria Steinem called me, I said, to hell with it, I'm voting for her. So
she called in
saying that
for Vance.
For Vance, yes.
Did you get, there was a robocall, you got a Gloria Steinem?
Yeah.
And what did she say?
A vote for Cy Vance.
That's no argument, though.
Right.
No reason.
Well, I just said enough of that.
Enough of that. You've
yes.
had, okay.
Yes.
Too much establishment.
Yeah.
If she counts as establishment.
Well, but you know, that's the other thing, too. I'm like, oh, please, Gloria, you did this to the woman? Nonsense.
How about Bill de Blasio for a public advocate?
Yeah. You know, I actually did. I was persuaded by the Times on that.
Uh-huh. Okay, Kim.
But
thank you.
But Pete Jin. So yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Ed in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hi. You're asking me who I voted for then?
Yes, sir.
For Advocate Siegel, not because I want Bloomberg to win. I think he should be gone because of his subterfuge in terms of the term limits. But if he'll probably win because of his billions, he's going to buy it again, and therefore he needs somebody like Norman Siegel to keep him to the extent he can be kept honest.
Because you think Siegel would be the toughest anti-Bloomberg contrarian voice in that public advocate position.
I would hope so, yes. You know, just because I think that's what politicians need, especially politicians who consolidate power.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Liu for controller, because he also voted against term limits as city councilman, and that's the reason why I didn't vote for de Blasio, because he was in favor of it. Of extending term limits. Then Casino in Riverdale, because I think Coppell also voted to change the term limits law, and he's basically serving as Bloomberg's lackey.
In fact, that was Coppell's bill. Coppell was a leader and came on the show and argued vociferously, full year ago, for the term limits repeal, saying that the council should have the right to do this because, you know, without going back to the voters, despite it initially being two referenda, because the law allowed it. The law allowed it not to be repealed, but to be modified. And they didn't technically repeal term limits. They extended it to a third term rather than two terms.
Yeah, you know, he's a lawyer by training, probably, and the law probably allows a lot of things, like bankers to, you know, use subterfuge and presidents to get us into wars we don't need to get into. So that's never a good argument. And the will of the people should be a politician's first priority, not what he can get away with.
And another argument there is that he really thinks, he believes the term limits on their face, on the merits, are bad. And I guess that's, you know, that's how legislation and legislator politics work. You feel that you're empowered by being elected to do what you feel is right under the law, and then your constituents can judge you on Election Day. And for
that's a fair point, but at the same time, it's kind of a conflict of interest that it helps him extend his office, right,
yes,
because it applies to him. So,
right,
you know, when you're faced with those situations where people choose for their benefit, you got to sort of be a little skeptical right about those kind of arguments.
Ed, thank you very much. That's one of the races that I'm going to be watching the outcome of pretty closely tonight when we do our return special, is Oliver Capel, because he was such a leader on term limits. And as I was saying, you know, you pay your money, you take your chances. If you're a legislator, if you want to do something that's going to generate the ire of Ed and other constituents, then you see if it'll come back to bite you when you're running around the next time. And here he is. Sal in Jamaica, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Brian. Oh, yes. For today, I'm voting for William Thompson for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Siegel, public advocate. City controller, David Wipran. Borough President Helen Marshall, and my council district is District 27, where I'm making a protest vote against Leroy Comrade, the incumbent, for having voted to overthrow the will of the people and extending term limit.
There we go. That term limits question keeps coming up in these city council races.
Manel, the insurgent, I have not met him. I don't know anything about him, but I'm voting for him, and I'm voting more against Comrade in this respect.
Tell me why you chose Wepren in the city council race. I mean, the controller race.
Because of his experience on the city financial committee, finance committee.
Thank you very much, City Council Finance Committee Chair, as he is. Helen in South Midwood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Brian. I just came back from voting in my local school, and I'm representing Brooklyn here. Let's see. I voted for Bill Thompson for mayor, and I voted for Norman Siegel for public advocate, and John Liu for controller, and Jermaine Milliams for the city council.
All right. Give us your rationale on Liu.
Well, he was recommended by the Workers' Family Party, so I took their recommendation to be a good guideline for me. I was surprised that they did not advocate for Norman Siegel. I was going to vote for him.
Oh, who did Working Families back in that race?
Bill de Blasio, which I don't understand, and I sent them an email saying, why did you do that? Why did you make that choice? Because I was surprised. I met Norman at a fundraiser party in my neighborhood in June. I was extremely impressed with him and learned about his early advocacy for the Pakistani men who were rounded up in my neighborhood about 8 years ago and held without charges and held without their families knowing where they were.
Mm-hmm.
Really terrible abuse of civil liberties here. And he was out there, you know, in the rain or whatever the weather conditions were in protests outside.
Yes, and that's his background. He's a civil rights attorney. That's been his career. And if that's the background that you want for public advocate, then Norman Siegel is certainly a good choice. Helen, thank you very much. Vince in Long Island City. You're on WNYC. Hi, Vince.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing, Mark? I voted for...
I'll get Mark if you want. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, Brian. I voted for Joyner for public advocate, Wepren for comptroller, Tony Vella for mayor, and...
Why Joya, why Wepren?
Well, I'm essentially a one-issue voter, like a lot of your other callers, is term limits. I think... Yasky's very talented. I actually worked on his campaign, raised money for him, and as soon as he voted to extend term limits, I bailed, got our money back, and went to work for Joya. I think Joya is a councilman in my district. He's an up-and-coming voice. He works really hard. He's really smart. He's done wonderful things in our district, and I think he's the future of the party. And I think these politicians who voted to extend term limits should be punished. I think it's outrageous.
You got your money back from Yasky? You can do that?
I asked for it, and they gave it back.
Wow. How about that? Money back guarantee on campaign donations.
Well, you know, we pressed hard. I mean, I know David Yasky is very talented, and he's terrific, and he struggled with his vote, but he really should have done what's right. The idea that Bloomberg pushed that through with the city council vote, instead, Bloomberg easily could have put the term limits vote on the ballot last November and let the voters decide like they did in the 90s twice. So I think it's outrageous that they went around the voters. It's so anti-democratic.
Vince, thanks a lot for calling. And I'll tell Mark you called.
Thanks. Sorry
Take care.
About that.
Nick in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I'm voting for Bill Thompson for mayor. I'm voting for Crocker Snyder for DA, Weprin for comptroller, Mark Green for public advocate, I think. And I need help with my city council member up here in District 7 in Harlem.
You want other people to call in and
if
say
they
who they're voting for in
District? If anyone else is in District 7 and wants to give me some advice or on the website,
Who are the candidates in District 7?
District 7, right now I'm leading towards Victor Bernays, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I think
that
is how you say it.
Bernays, yeah. I like him because he wants to make it a car-free city, which I love. But the incumbent is Robert Jackson.
How?
And he's leading right now. But he also supported the term limits thing, which I just can't get behind.
All right. Anybody from District 7 want to call in real quick? 212-433-WNYC. We only have about 3 minutes left in the show, so we're not going to be able to do much for you on that, Nick. But thank you for your call. So interesting. We hear where the passion is. This is what happens on talk radio, right? This is why we call it an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll. What happens is the people who feel the strongest about something, about a person, about an issue, tend to be the ones who call up. And we see what is motivating people today, and I think it's fascinating, and it is term limits and how controller candidates voted in city council for term limits, how public advocate candidates, not only people who are actually running for city council, but we hear what's driving so many of you today. And that's a pretty interesting finding, even though this is informal and thoroughly unscientific. Euclid in Cambria Heights. Euclid, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for Bill Thompson. I think Bloomberg is a better candidate, but I am appalled that these guys overturned the referendum put in place by the people. And my city council guy is Comrie, and he's not getting my vote. Because he's one of those incumbents who did the same thing. Plus, you know what? We need some young blood around this city. I like John Liu for controller. The guy has always been out there working hard. I trust him. Norman Siegel is my guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Norman Siegel has always defended the little people, and he's a smart guy, and he'll keep an eye on Bloomberg and the rest of those guys. And so there you have it.
And there we have it from Euclid in Cambria Heights. Euclid thinking it through. And Beth in the Village, I think, is going to insert a little randomness. Is this like a little John Cage randomness into this process?
John Cage. I'd like to think so. Anyway, I'll tell you very quickly who I voted for, which is Thompson, Vance, Blasio, Yasky, and Kim. But what I do want to add is I have a six-and-a-half-year-old daughter named Alice. And ever since she was born, I've taken her to vote. When she was an infant, and I used to always get the poll watchers to take a picture of us outside of the voting booth.
Uh-huh.
And the last two election, she's gone with me, and this morning she pulled the lever, and then she pulls the thing, and she's so excited about it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you vote in whoever your six-year-old pulls the lever for.
No.
So it's not really random.
I'm not that kind of parent. No, but I'm just, my point is that she gets so excited to go vote, and I think it's a wonderful way to infuse the idea that it's a real honor and privilege
to be able
to vote.
It's great. We've always done it with our kids as well, and it really gets people excited about the honor and the privilege, as you rightly put it, at a very, very young age.
Yes.
Give me 10 seconds on why Vance.
Well, I think he has... Strong record. I think he has a temperament, and I kind of like the idea that he hasn't been plugged into city machine for years and years.
Interesting. We leave it there. Beth, thank you, and thanks to all of you for your calls on our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific primary day exit poll. And don't forget, I will be back at 9 o'clock tonight for a primary night special. So I hope to talk to you then. We'll take lots of calls at that time too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.